service. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter number 10, verse number 18. Luke 10 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And he said unto them," speaking of Jesus, "he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Would you lift your hands, ask the Holy Ghost to help us one more time and anoint us? Lamb of God, we're looking to you tonight, the author and finisher of our faith. God, to give us liberty to preach your word. God, as we move toward this altar, God, anoint ears to hear, hearts to receive. God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord will help me for a little while tonight. I want to look at verse number 18, the word fall. And it may take a few minutes to get with me on the title, but I want to preach on standing tall through the fall. Standing tall through the fall. This is one of the most bizarre and shocking verses in the entire Bible to me. I understand that we're now on this side of this verse, and looking back on it, we can say, thank the Lord that he threw Satan out of heaven. He deserves everything that he gets. The brother was saying that Satan's been warring at their house. He deserves everything that he gets. But I want you to look with me, go back before Satan and before Slewfoot and before that old dragon, before the serpent, before the devil, to when there was a creature named Lucifer. I want to look at his existence tonight as Lucifer, the son of the morning, an angel of light, as God and Christ there in eternity past somewhere created this being for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to bring pleasure and glory and honor to Almighty God. The Bible informs us that everything that was created for one sole purpose, and that is to worship the Lord. That is to give God glory. So I want you to notice the very existence of this creature, Satan, for one purpose, and it was to worship the Lord. Some say he was a minister of music type of angel in the glory world. So understand that all his very existence is to be in the presence of God, to lead worship, to be one. I don't know, and you don't either, but if you'll let me use my imagination, could it have been Satan was the one that pen the words that we now read as those cherubims fly round about the throne with six wings, with twain they cover their feet, and with twain they cover their face, and with twain they do fly, and they cry one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Could it have been Lucifer himself that got his angel choir together and said, "Listen, boys, we've got to do something. We've got a glorious God. We've got an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God that inhabits eternity, one that's worthy of glory and honor and praise." And he gets together with all of the angels and they begin to sing heaven's chorus to the Lord. I don't know. It could have been. That's all he was created to do, was to worship and to praise. Could you imagine that? If that's all we had to do in life, there wasn't any work, there wasn't any other thing except to be in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful place that would be. What an awesome atmosphere that would be. His existence was to worship. His environment was heaven. Understand, you got to understand, he has an advantage on us. Satan has one up to us, if you would. He has seen things that none of us has ever seen. He has experienced things that not one of us has ever experienced. Understand that we see him as dark and gloomy and evil and wicked, but it wasn't always that way. There was a time he was in the presence of God. He looked into the eyes that's like fire. He's seen feet like brass and the hair that's white as wool. He's seen the rainbow and the river. He's seen all of the splendors and the glory of God. Understand, you and I, as we see through a glass darkly, but understand, Satan has seen God Almighty in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, in a place called heaven. What a place he was in. I want you to look at something in the book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 15. This is the environment that Satan's in. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What he's saying is none of these things are in heaven. Can you imagine a place like Satan was dwelling in at one point in time? There was no sin. Understand, there was no temptation, for there was no devil. There was nothing to allure the heart of man away from God. There was nothing but pure worship to the Lord. He lived in that environment. But then I read this scripture that I read to you tonight, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall. Brother Vic, when I look at that, and I look at him, Brother Jim, and I say, you're in a perfect environment. There's no sin. There's no wickedness. There's no iniquity. You're there for the sole purpose of worshiping the Lord for all of eternity. But I read in Isaiah 14 how he fell, and I looked at that, Brother Greg Roberts, and I said, my God, if Satan is living in a perfect world, in a perfect environment without sin and wickedness, and somehow he managed to fall. Somehow he managed to fall from that lofty place. And then when I look at that, and then I go and I look at Satan, how he fell from a perfect environment. And then I go to the book of Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. And I see where God placed man in a perfect paradise. There's not any of the evils that we have today. There's no preachers got to get up and preach against all these sins and all of these allurements of the world, all of the things. No, there's none of that at all. There's no wrong friends to pull on Adam and Eve, because the only friend in the world they've got is God. They walk every day in the cool of the day, pre-fall, in a perfect environment. There's only one thing in the entire world, Brother Vic, that they have to worry about. And it's really up to the point that we know that they fail. It really wasn't even that alluring at all. Because you understand, they were in the presence of God every day of their life. God walked with them in the cool of the day. I can't imagine that kind of world. All I know is a world where Satan, he vexes our soul. All the kind of world I know is where the enemy of our soul comes against us every day, and he tries to draw us away, and he tries to pull us away. But can you imagine living in a perfect world where there's no sin? The only friend you got in the world is God. He walks with you in the cool of the day. Nothing at all to pull their heart away from God. No sin. None of the things of the world that we have. But in Genesis chapter number 3, I want you to notice that they fail. You know the story. I don't have to rehearse it. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He beguiled Eve. She took to Adam, and they fail. And Brother Jim, where I want to preach from here, several months ago, I was at home, and I was working. I was riding down the road with my dad. My pastor had asked me to preach that night. And as I was riding down the road, my mind began to wander like it does, wonder what to preach. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord whispered to my heart and said, if Satan lived in a perfect world and he fell, and Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world and they fell, how in the world are we as children of God supposed to live in an unholy atmosphere without sin? They lived in a sinless world and yet they found a way to sin. But we live in a sinful world and the Bible tells us we're not supposed to sin. And what really gets me is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 7. This is speaking of man. The Bible said, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Really, when I just read this text of Scripture and I see what kind of atmosphere and what kind of world we're living in, and I see the day and hour we live in, it looks like the odds are against us. It looks like, young people, that every odd in the world is against us staying true to God. It looks like that we have to fall. It looks like that because the sin is abounding and the love of many is waxing cold, it looks like there's no way to make it. I read to you about their environment. It was perfect. It was holy. It was wonderful. No sin. But let me read to you quickly our environment. Romans 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful. One more place quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You tell me if it sounds like the world you're living in. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. You mean to tell me that God expects us to live sin-free in that type of environment? Satan couldn't live sin-free in heaven itself. Adam and Eve couldn't live sin-free in the world they lived in. How in the world are we supposed to live sin-free in a world that pushes sin in our face every day? And some of you young people, I understand in the old start of this youth camp that not every young person that comes to youth camp goes home to a holiness home. They don't go home to an intact home. But there's young people that will be here this week that go to public school, that come from broken homes, that come from all sorts of vile, filthy atmospheres, but God tells us we're supposed to live holy and we're supposed to live pure. When we got friends pulling on us and we got things blaring in our face, do this and do that, my God, how are we supposed to live holy? The Bible bears it out that the closer we get to the end of time, sin will be more rampant. I've never seen in my life, and I'm young, I understand that, but I've never seen in my life this sin that is so in your face. There's not a shame anymore. The people of this world, they're not ashamed of their sin. They don't feel like the oddball, but they want to back us in a corner and make us feel inferior, make us feel weird, because we're trying to live holy in an unholy atmosphere. And I look around and say, my God, the odds are against us. Every advertisement is trying to pull our young people down. Every television program, I hope you don't have one, but every one of them is putting us down. Everything this world does is trying to destroy our life. You understand what I'm telling you? Satan had nobody pulling him down. He had everybody pushing him toward God, and he couldn't live holy. Adam and Eve didn't have anybody but Satan one time try to pull him down. And they couldn't live holy. But every direction we turn, sin on every hand. Sin, and I'm glad to see this night that there's young people that I've seen here at camp meeting that are still here tonight. I noticed that right off the bat, and I'm thankful for that. But if we took a poll tonight, there's probably some young people that were here that's not here, that probably won't be here. Why? Because they felt like, what's the use? There's some young people that they've had pastors that let them down. They've had preachers that have failed them. So they said, if they can't make it, I can't make it. If they can't live it, I can't live it. They're better than I am. And that's the world we live in. It's trying to pull us down. And as I asked God the question right down the road, I said, if Adam and Eve couldn't live it in the garden, if Satan couldn't live it in heaven, Lord, how in the world are we supposed to live holy? And this is where I want to preach from for a little while, and I'll quit. The Lord spoke this scripture to my heart when I said, God, how are we supposed to live holy in an unholy world? How are we supposed to live sinless in a sinful world? And I felt the Holy Ghost whisper to my heart, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I said, that's it, Lord. And now I understand how I can live holy in an unholy world. What I can do to live pure in a filthy world. What I can do to live without sin in a world that says you gotta sin every day. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, if you'll walk in the Spirit, young people, you don't have to fall to sin. You don't have to be a casualty. There's nothing in the world that can pull you out from under the cover of God's grace if you walk in the Spirit. You know, reality of a lot of people today, that young people, they're just so in and out and up and down, and they're going to fall and they're going to fail, and they're in one youth camp and out the next. But that's not what I come to preach to you tonight. I come to preach to you that you can get an experience in God, and you don't ever have to walk out again. You don't ever have to fail again. You can walk in the Spirit. It's not possible to say we've never sinned, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But it is possible to live above sin. I was reading in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 10. I got to a scripture and he said, if you do these things, you'll never fall. I said, Lord, if I can do these things and I won't ever fall, I need to know what these things are. And I went back and it started talking about faith and virtue and love and charity. I said, wow, that sounds an awful lot like the fruits of the Spirit. Understand me tonight. I know it's the blood. It's the blood plus nothing else that saves you. I believe in the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus. I believe in the Trinity from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But understand me, once you're covered in the blood, young people, there is a deeper experience in God that you can get, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I'm struggling with some things. I'm struggling with the world. I'm struggling with some temptation. I tell you something tonight. Get full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that'll stop the mouth of hell like the Holy Ghost. We was at youth camp week before last in North Alabama. The first year that we've had that youth camp, I watched 10 young people that week in a Tuesday night through Friday night go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Two of them was from my church. We got home Sunday morning. I watched another young lady. She's only been saved about a year. She wasn't churched. You be around her much, you can see she hadn't been churched at all. She don't know how to say things with tact and with grace. She says what comes to her mind. She don't know nothing about it. But I watched her Sunday. I feel the Holy Ghost. I watched her that Sunday morning. We come home and the Spirit of God began to move, and the Spirit of God, and they left a worldly church and come to our church because she said it was dead, and she wanted something that was alive. And I watched as the Spirit of God began to move and people began to shout and rejoice. I watched this girl. She wasn't a Baptist girl. She wasn't a Methodist girl. She was nothing at all. She didn't know anything about it. But I watched her with her hands up as she began to shake under the power of the Holy Ghost. And I got to look and I got over where I could see my wife was praying with her. And it wasn't very long I seen her begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave her the utterance. You know what? She's got to deal with a mom and daddy that don't like church and don't like holiness. But I'm telling you something tonight, young people, this week at youth camp, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Some of you, and I'm not trying to start on a negative note, but there's some of you, you've struggled. We all have, haven't we, at times in our life. There's some of you that get on fire and do good, but it seems like you never really can quite get your foot on the rock. You slip and you fall. There's so many temptations that we could go into, and I don't want to preach it all in one night. I got to save some of that for later in the week. But we're living in an environment that's not suitable to Christianity. We're living in a world that don't like us. They don't mind church. They don't mind God. But they hate Jesus Christ. They hate holiness. They hate anything that goes against the grain. And if there's one thing, somebody's already said it in this meeting thus far, said the devil wants to destroy each and every one of you. But I felt like the Lord dealt with my heart to preach this message. How can I stand, Brother Brad, when I've watched my friends fall all around me? When I've seen pastors fall and preachers fall. People that I knew had an experience with God fall. It breaks my heart. If somebody get us a song. Sabrina, if you'll get us a song. We had a lady from our church just not too long ago. They got saved about 10 years ago. God done a work in their life. Delivered them from the depths of sin. It breaks my heart. Here just a little while back, she walked out of the house of God, gone, quit, left. I can't make it. Her husband had left her. She was in a mess. But, you know, as I begin to think about that, what happened there? Somewhere along the line, She lost her experience. Somewhere along, because understand me, the devil says you can't make it, and he's a liar. People say you can't live it, they're a liar. There's no way a person can backslide if they pray through and stay full of the power of the Holy Ghost. It don't happen. You say, I've seen people speak in tongues and backslide. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. At that same time, you don't sin and have the Holy Ghost at the same time. How can I make it? I don't want to fall. I don't want to be in and out. Make up in your mind this week at youth camp, I'm going to leave here full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to leave here full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have already received the Holy Ghost. I understand that. You know what? That Sunday morning, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't know how long ago. It's been a long time. But that Sunday morning, I felt like I got him all over again. It wouldn't hurt some of us to get refilled in the Holy Ghost. It wouldn't hurt some moms and dads to get refilled with the Holy Ghost. Because we need God's Spirit in this end time. There's so much pulling and so much warring. But I come to preach a simple message to you on the first night. You can stand. Everybody else may be falling, but you can stand. Would you stand with me tonight? As she begins to sing, I want to know, we're going to make an altar call for everybody. This is youth camp, isn't it? Starting of it. I want to know if I got any young people, young married couples, teenagers, whatever. I don't know if I got any young people that say, preacher, I don't want to fall. I done seen too many backslide, and I don't want to be one of them. Do I have one? You'll step out, come to this altar, and say, Lord, fill me again. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. There's some coming. I want you to come. Come on, young people. That's why we have youth camp. That's why they'll spend thousands of dollars this week. That's why people have come from all over this country, is to see you get an experience with God that'll keep you. Come on, young people. All right, I want everybody else to would. Let's gather around these young people. Let's help them pray through. Let's help them pray through to an experience in the Holy Ghost.
Suddenly,
you can stand, you can make it. Nothing that says you got to fall and then come back to God. You don't have to backslide to make a testimony. You can stand.
Lord, I want the power.
Come on, young people.
Of your Spirit.
Come on, young people.
Flow over me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Refreshing.
Come on, church. Let's get in here with these young people and help them pray. They're fighting battles some of us have never fought. They're warring with things some of us have never warred with. Let's get in here and help them push and help them pray.
Oh, I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. Lord, I hunger and I thirst for a touch of God. I thought